Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
You are listening to the Millwall Fan Show here on Love Sport London. And I'm back. I am back. It's Matt Beadle here, back on the airwaves with the guys from No Lou Talking. Of course, Patricia Maslin, Jeff Burnage and George Lampy joining me in the studio. And I tell you what, guys, I am delighted to be back. But I've got one little issue I need to pick up with you on. When I left, it was just two defeats in 16 under Gary Rowett. I've come back and it's 4-18. What's going on? Come on, talk to me. What's happened?
He's rubbish. He's got to go.
Throw it out.
On a serious note, guys, it is fantastic to be back. We've got plenty coming up over the course of the next hour. We are going to be reflecting on those two defeats to Sheffield United and Leeds during the week. Whew, that one's going to get tasty. We're going to be touching on some transfer talk. We're going to be talking to a certain Eamon Dunphy. Can't wait for that one. Can't wait to get Eamon on the line. We're going to be talking Millwall Lionesses, of course, and looking ahead to that game against Sheffield Wednesday. So plenty coming up, guys. First off, how have you all been?
Great. Fine. Yep.
Yeah, I've been fine, thanks, Matt. How have you been?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
Not been well, have you, mate?
George? No, hey. I've been a little bit poorly, I'm not going to lie to you.
A bit peaky.
I've been a little bit poorly, but I'm back. I'm feeling good and delighted to be on my favourite show here on Love Sport.
You're looking a bit peaky. Are you sure you're all right?
It's all them chocolates right. You've been eating, isn't it? Because it's Pat's birthday today, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, during the week.
It is. We should be celebrating. It was during the week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Lovely stuff. Happy birthday to Patricia Maslin. Please do send in your birthday wishes. 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp us on that number or tweet us to at Love Sport Radio. I've got to say as well, Pat, there's a lot of flashing, not of that kind, of course, here in the studio right now. Talk to you. What's going on?
We're just doing a small documentary to put onto the Facebook pages about what happens and just a run through with some pictures. And so people sort of just advertising what we do here.
Lovely. And where can people find that?
Well, I'll be posting it on all the Millwall Facebook pages and Twitter and yeah.
Okay, so if you want to see me looking peaky, make sure you tune in and catch those pictures.
I didn't mean it, man.
No, I'm only kidding, of course. I'm naturally quite a pale individual. Right, listen, guys, let's go and look back on those results over the course of the past week. We're going to start with the game against Sheffield United. Sheffield United putting out a much stronger side in this clash to what they did against AFC Fylde in the third round. Of course, stronger opposition. So that's what you'd expect. It was not the most entertaining game at the Den. Jeff, I'll come to you first on this one.
I thought we were going to Pat first because we are going to have a disagreement.
Oh, okay.
And myself. Pat, what did you think?
I was so annoyed. I was so annoyed Saturday coming home with a team he put out. To me, as a supporter, you don't pay to see your team lose. And when you turn up and you see the lineup he put out, and it was such a dull, poor game. Come half time, 0-0, you'd think, we can win this. He had a decent bench there. He could have put them on. We could have won that. All the excuses about, we got Leeds in 3 days' time. It don't wash with me. You always play to your strongest. And a cup run would have been nice.
When I saw the team, no Marlon, no Hutchinson, no Jed Wallace, no Bodvarsson. Who else was missing? Pat, somebody else a bit
well, we didn't have
automatic.
Jed Wallace was on the bench, wasn't he?
Yeah, but no, in the starting, all of those were on the bench. Mm. But what it said to me was that he told the players the aim for the season is promotion. What other reason would there be to take out four or five of, or even maybe six of your best players for that game? The league's his priority, and he thinks he's got a sniff of the playoffs. And that's how I reacted before the game. Then I realised that there were people who paid full money to come and watch the team in the FA Cup, and I can see both sides of it. But that was my reaction before the game. It was a pretty drab game, I've got to say.
So, George, this is a debate that's rumbled on and on and on, and will continue to do the same thing, of course. Many, many fans, many pundits, many journos consistently arguing about the FA Cup, and we're now seeing the issue with Liverpool and Shrewsbury, and they're going to a replay, and Jurgen Klopp said he's not going to be there, and they're going to be fielding the kids. And is Gary Rowett right to prioritise the championship here? We are in a great position for Millwall to potentially launch an assault on the playoffs to, I mean, listen, get into the Premier League. This is a genuine possibility. Since he's come in and taken over, things have turned. There has been a massive upturn in form. So is it right for him to conveniently have lost this game, which essentially is kind of what's happened?
Yeah, I'm going to be really honest here. I'm totally in Pat's camp on this.
Well.
Yeah, I, you know, Jeff, bless his heart, he will always toe the line, Jeff, and he's a great guy for that. But I was just like Pat, you know, this was an opportunity against a Premier League team who I think left out about five guys, so they weren't at their best. It was a real opportunity for us to go forward. And when I saw that all them players were missing, and the one thing that you must remember is that the people have travelled long distances, paid good money, and if you want to field a weakened team, and I know it's a modern approach to football, but maybe you should tell the people before the Saturday or whatever day the fixture is, we're going to play a weakened team, and let them then make that choice whether they turn up or not. Because basically, and you know, I think you are cheating the supporters, and I genuinely think that, and I really am in Pat's camp, because afterwards, and Pat was on social media defending herself on this, you know, as she does, but lots of people were saying, well, we're in, like you did there, Matt, you know, we're in a position here where we could make sixth position in the playoffs, go into the playoffs, and you never know what your luck might be. But you can't live like that, because the chances are we won't get there. You know, we may have beaten Leeds 3 days later, but we didn't. And you can't live like that. You have to take your opportunities in football when they come along. And I think we were very poor in that respect.
Well, what got me at half time, it was 0-0, and you know he wasn't interested by we came out with the same team. You knew we could beat them. And then we go one down and he brings Jed on. And he brings Bradshaw on. Well, you don't want to draw. What was he trying for? A draw so we'd have a replay? What was the point? Were they going to get injured in those 15 minutes? It was poor.
They've both made very strong points. Most people will agree with what George and Pat have said there. But think about the players. The players got the message, I believe, which is, hey, our priority is the league. We're going to get promoted. I think that's what the message was. He's paid to make decisions. We won't always agree with them. I don't always agree with them. But I don't say he was right, but I say I do understand. When I saw the team, I thought, my God, he fancies us for promotion. That was my reaction. The game was pretty diabolical, though, I've got to say, it was.
You can always make points up. Even if knowing that you're going to lose at Leeds come the Tuesday, you can always make them points up again. It wouldn't have mattered that much. And I just don't agree with his choice on the Saturday. I think it was very poor on him and very poor for the supporters that did go.
A first red mark to Mr. Rowett's name, Pat?
Absolutely.
Okay, interesting. Well, the point you raise as well, George, about naming your team or suggesting you're going to put out a weakened side, it's hard, isn't it? Because instantly you're then giving the opposition, Sheffield United in this case, an idea of exactly how you're going to line up, which then gives them more of a case, and Chris Wilder putting out a relatively decent side.
And they played good football. You know, I know the guys said they didn't think it was a good game, but I thought United played some nice interactive passing, and they played well for what is considered not his best team. And he knows only too well about what football's like at the Den. So, you know, he's a wildy old fox. But, no, I certainly agree with Pat on this. I don't think the club come out of it smelling of roses on this one.
When we were beating Premier League teams over the last couple of seasons, they usually had foreign managers. Chris Wilder wasn't going to take losing to Millwall in the fourth round of the FA Cup. He wasn't going to do it. So I think that... but look, I agree with what Pat and George have said. There's no doubt they've got a strong point. But when we're in the playoffs at the end of the season, Matt, I'll have a word with them both and say maybe he put the seed of that idea in the players' heads when we picked that team on the fourth round of the FA Cup. Move on.
Oh, I like it.
And if we don't...
If we don't...
You can come to us.
Well, but at half-time on Tuesday night, moving on to that game, I thought what a genius the manager was to change that team on Saturday. It wasn't quite so obvious it was the right decision after 94 minutes, was it? But no. There you are.
Well, yeah, let's get into that one. We'll move on from the FA Cup and focus back on the Championship. Up at Elland Road during the week, and like you said, it looked like it was going well up until the 48th minute. Sean Hutchinson, Jed Wallace putting the Lions 2-0 up at Elland Road, and then Patrick Bamford bagging a brace either side of Hernandez, scoring as well with a goal, by the way, that was just an horrible goal to look at, especially when you saw it on TV. A slight deflection, but bundled into the goal. And of course, good results elsewhere. Bristol City, well, not good results for Millwall, but Bristol City getting a win. That pushed them into the playoffs. Blackburn getting a win as well. Millwall dropping down to ninth, but still just 3 points adrift of those playoff spots. So yes, not good to throw away a two-goal lead, George, but still in and around there.
Yeah, so all right, that was an hard call at any time, wasn't it? Going to play Leeds United, full house at Leeds, and Leeds are playing very good football. I think we should bear that in mind. 2-0 up with 24 minutes to go, still a long way to go in it, and they were playing some nice interactive passing, and we had a little bit of bad luck in the goal. I mean, he saved one, pushed it out, and the fella was standing right there to kick it back in. Yeah, I think we had a little bit of bad luck on the night, and if we had won, I think Jeff could sit there now quite rightly saying, you know, we should never have played the full team Saturday. So, you know, there was that point, and I did think halfway, well, after about 25 minutes, me and Pat are snookered here. We're not going to be out to say a word on Thursday night. But
I think when you're winning away from home against a good side, you mustn't let the first goal in, must you? You know, once it's 2-1, that just changes the atmosphere in the stadium, and we need to get a lot deeper into the game to concede the first goal.
It was quick in the second half, yeah. Wasn't it? It was early. That's the one thing you don't want to do, let an early go in when you've got 45 minutes in front of you.
But they was all over us come the second
half.
They were.
I mean, okay, the goals might have, but one of them particularly a bit scrappy, but it's pressure, isn't it? Mm. The pressure they putting on us. I think they'll get automatic promotion. And
it's definitely the best side we've played this year or this season, haven't they? Well, and there was that penalty that Smith didn't get, which was a blatant penalty. And Rowett said he thinks the referee was a bit intimidated by the crowd not to give it. So,
all right, well, look, before we move on, let's just do a bit of transfer talk, of course. Bartman, Mr. Bielkowski, signing on a permanent deal. That's a great bit of business there, guys. He's been very, very decent this season. And today, Mason Bennett has signed on loan from Derby County. Now, Mason Bennett being a player that Gary Rowett was, of course, familiar with from his time at Derby. A slight raised eyebrow from Patricia Maslin. I don't know whether that has anything...
My face so well.
I don't know whether that's got anything to do with an incident, of course, that occurred earlier on this season. Bennett's come back from that incident involving Richard Keogh. Of course, he's been sacked from Derby. Tom Lawrence has remained with the club, but he's joined on loan. He's had limited game time since that particular incident earlier on in the season. He's just come back from an ankle injury. Pat, what do you make of this one?
Well, I honestly don't know the player that well. I'm thinking you're reading my Facebook posts. yeah, I'm not too happy with his personal life, which I think I don't know him. I don't know him personally, obviously, but we know what it's like when the dressing room gets disruptive. We had it last season. It really affected the other players. I just hope that there isn't that side of him that does disrupt the dressing room now. I think we got really mature players who can handle him on that side of things. As for his past record football-wise, it's not that brilliant, but he's young. We'll see for the rest of the season how he gets on. Be a nice partnership if he could get in with Bradshaw. And yeah, no.
Jeff?
We've got to trust the judgment of the manager.
I agree.
He knows him very, very well. He had him with him at Derby. This is a lad that started his career looking like he'd play for England, you know, and it hasn't happened. 23, different type of striker to what we've got in the club already. But the point, Pat, is we've got him on loan. If he's not the right type, he won't get near a contract in the summer, will he?
No, quite agree.
And we've done that regularly over the last couple of years, 2 or 3 years. We've done that. And I'm very happy with the signing. I thought a front player was very, very important in January.
We are desperate for a decent striker, aren't we?
Yeah, I agree with you there, Jeff. I think it certainly now is the one area where we need to have added somebody.
Mm.
The things that we needed to add were strength and pace.
Mm.
Which I think we lack outside of Bradshaw. And I think this boy, according to Ray, has got just that. And, you know, maybe they can turn him into a better player and we will see. But, yeah, I think that's what we needed and they've filled the gap.
Indeed. There is more news, of course, potential news that Luke Steele might re-sign on loan. He went back to Nottingham Forest, but Frankie Fielding tragically out with an injury, looks like, until the end of the season as well. Not a good first season for him at the Den. Next up, Millwall Fan Show, we are going to be speaking to Eamon Dunphy. Stick with us.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
It's the Millwall Fan Show here on Love Sport London. Me, Matt Beadle, with the guys from No One Likes Us, talking Patricia Maslin, Jeff Burnage and George Lampy. And right now we have a very, very special guest on the line. Grew up in Drumcondra in Dublin. A promising footballer, he left the Irish capital while still a teenager to join Manchester United as an apprentice. Subsequent spells at York City, Charlton, Reading and Shamrock Rovers followed, but it was of course his 9-year stint at Millwall where he made the most impact. 302 appearances, 25 goals and last week's legend, of course, in our legend or hero debate. After retiring from football, he became a renowned Irish media personality, journalist, broadcaster, author. The list goes on, and most recently a podcaster. It is of course Eamon Dunphy. Eamon, thank you for joining us.
Good evening, Matt. It's a pleasure. Great pleasure.
Great to have you on the line, boss. I think I'm pretty much just going to throw you to the guys like a lamb to the slaughter and let Jeff begin proceedings here.
Hi, Jeff.
Good evening, Eamon. Lovely to speak to you again. It's been a while.
See you.
It's been a while. And we go back.
We do a very long way. Yeah.
Let me ask you first, how did you come to sign for Millwall? Who signed you for Millwall?
Gray.
Billy Gray.
And he signed me from York. And York were in the bottom relegation places, and Millwall, of course, were top. And I joined a very, very good team, as you know, Jeff. And I was very lucky. And I thought Billy Gray was a fantastic man. And I was sad when he left. But we got Benny Fenton afterwards, and Benny was a very good manager as well. And we had a very, very good team, and I loved the time I was at Millwall. I loved the area, the people, the fans. It's a great and big memory in my life.
So, who impressed you in the team when you look back? Who do you look back and think, my God, what a good player he was?
Well, there were so many good players in the first team I joined. Brian Snowden was the captain, Harry Cripps, of course, and Brian King. Alex Stepney, the great goalkeeper, played for England, went on to play for Manchester United and subsequently for England. So I joined a very, very good team. And then under Benny Fenton was the transition to Keith Weller and Derek Posse, who we got from Spurs, Dennis Burnett. Harry Cripps was there through both eras, if you like. Barry Kitchener, Alan Dorney, Billy Neal, Barry Bridges played for us. We had Gordon Bolland. We had a wonderful, wonderful, two wonderful teams. The one that got promoted and the one subsequently that failed very sadly to get promotion. We finished third. We would have been promoted to what is now the Premier League if three teams were going up. That was probably the saddest day in our history when we thought we were up, and unfortunately we didn't get there.
You said our history there, Eamon. It sounds like Millwall has a place in your heart.
Oh, it does, yeah, very much so. It does indeed, and I wrote a book about Millwall, which is still in print. And I love the people, the fans. They had a bad reputation, which was really unfair because it was a very small minority that caused any trouble. But they were real good people. They gave me plenty of stick.
Sorry about that, Eamon.
That's all right. I don't mind. But it was... There was a wonderful sense of humour around the place. I remember we played Huddersfield one day when Harold Wilson was Prime Minister. And, of course, Harold Wilson was a Huddersfield fan, and he came to the match. And Huddersfield were beating us. I think they beat us 3-0 on the day. But the Millwall fans were never deterred and never gave in. So they stopped watching the football, and they turned on into the director's box and spent 45 minutes having fun with the Prime Minister of the day. It was really, really great and much better than the football. But that was a very memorable day, and that could only really happen at Millwall.
Hello, Eamon. It's Pat here. You mentioned your book, Only a Game.
Yes.
I think every single Millwall fan who's ever lived has read that. Absolutely brilliant. What was it about that particular season or that made you write that book?
Well, we went into it with such great hopes. It was the year, I think, after we nearly got promoted, and we had a really, really good team. And my career was kind of borderline, you know. I was struggling to keep my place in a very good team, it went flat for everybody very quickly, including me, but the team's performances weren't great. It was a disappointing season, and it was the season I left Millwall, and I wrote about that experience. I started the book not knowing what was going to happen, because I just wanted to put on the record my own feelings and ask myself, I mean, I was 26, 27, why do you go on suffering like this? You're never going to make it. You're never really going to be. And that's the way it started. And I wrote it very honestly, and I didn't spare myself. And I think it was a good thing to do, and it was raw. But football books in those times were pretty bland, most of them, you know. But this was... I wasn't attacking people or anything, I don't think. I was just laying myself bare. And it did me good afterwards when I wanted to try and be a journalist. So, but it's whenever I think of Millwall, I always look for their results. I always, you know, and I went back once to the Den when they were in the old First Division, which is now, of course, the Premier League, and Teddy Sheringham was playing, Tony Cascarino. And we went on the pitch, and it was very nice.
Eamon, George here. Hello,
hi,
mate.
George.
We recently had Dougie Alder on, and he was talking about the cup tie at Everton, you know, where Harry scored and Alf did, and we beat, obviously, a very accomplished Everton side.
Sure did.
What's your memories of that? That would have been a great occasion, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I think I took the free kick that Harry scored from. So that's one memory. Dougie Alder was a very good player too, and a very nice person indeed. Yeah, that was a very good Everton team. Howard Kendall played,
fine team. Yeah.
And Harvey and Kendall were two great midfield players. They were a very good team in what is now the Premier League. And we went to Goodison. We had a very good team. We played good football. And we played them off the park and beat them, and it was a great win.
Yeah,
we'd spent a week in Devon, I think, but, on holiday before that. Benny took us away for some warm weather or something, and he promises if we beat them, we'd go back. And we did beat them, and we did go back.
Oh, well. And it brings me to another great game. One of the greatest cup ties I ever saw, I think, was the Spurs game at the Den.
Yes, indeed.
Where the great Jack Nicholson, he actually wanted to buy you after that game, didn't he?
He did, Bill Nicholson, yeah. It was, it was a very muddy pitch, but the Den sort of took rain very well. And it was a very wet day, and we drew at the Den, and I played. That's the best game I think I ever played in my life. I was up against Terry Venables, but they had a great team. Jimmy Greaves.
Indeed, yeah.
You know, they had Pat Jennings. They had really top players, and we could have won and probably should have won, but they managed to get away with a draw, and we lost the replay. Alan Gilzean, I think, scored the goal to beat us in the replay. And Alan Gilzean was a really fabulous player who I later, before that, in fact, I played with him at York. But, that's a very, very happy sort of memory indeed, that cup tie. Yeah, we went to White Hart Lane and it was a great night. We played well, you know, but they just had a bit more quality.
Well, they were great occasions, them two cup ties, and even the return to Tottenham was such an occasion, wasn't it? And
it was. Yeah.
And Gilzean, as you said, was a great player, but I never forgave him for the goal. That was...
Well, Millwall fans have long memories.
The Tottenham replay. You were players. You were inside, but you know there were probably something around 20,000 people left out of that game in Tottenham High Road. It was an unbelievable evening.
Yes.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And it was something that will live in my memory. But going back to the Everton game, you said you took that free kick.
I think I did.
You did. It was on the big match repeated the other week here.
Oh, really?
On cable television. Eamon, yeah. it was a cracking free kick because Harry made a run inside the fullback, and you spotted it. I don't think it was what you were going to do. You spotted him and put it absolutely on his noggin, and he put it in the bottom corner, and it was a fantastic goal. Put us 1-0 up, and that was the thing that really...
It was huge.
Yeah,
and I don't think Harry would have been in the game plan for scoring from free kicks or headers even.
Well, funnily enough, Eamon, you were talking about Benny. We played five at the back.
He
was miles ahead of his time.
He was a terrific coach and a very nice man too. Yeah. He really was, and he changed the culture at Millwall, which, you know, Billy Gray had started instead of being a kick and rush team and, you know, scaring people to death when they came to the den. We actually played a lot of football with Billy Gray, and unfortunately, Billy wanted to buy players, and I think the chairman at the time, Mickey Purser, didn't really want to spend money. I think the Purser car sales got burnt down a few times.
Got the windows things, broke,
yeah. Yeah, it did, when things didn't work out. But then I was lucky to have those two men, Benny and Billy, right? They were really terrific coaches, and Benny was way ahead of his time. He had, of course, been at West Ham, and his brother had been at West Ham. Ted had managed West Ham, and that was a footballing club, as you all know. I know don't love them, but they played a bit of football. And
they're not looking that good at the moment, Eamon, I can tell you.
Skip over that, Eamon. Skip over that.
Yeah, but anyway, I have lovely memories of playing for Millwall and great days, and those two cup matches were great times. And the failure to get promotion, when we were carried off the pitch, we thought that Birmingham had lost.
That's right.
At Sheffield, but in fact they'd won. And yeah. After all the celebrations, we were told they were losing 2-0, so yeah. We were winning 2-0 against Preston. I remember vividly, and the word went round the ground. And I think it was on ITV, and we were all carried off the pitch, and we thought we're made for life. But we weren't. We had to go on working.
Eamon, it's been great having you on, boss.
It's
just
one
pleasure. More. I'm gonna throw a question into the mix. Now, this isn't specifically to do with Millwall. Sorry, guys. But myself and my producer here, who is a fellow Irishman as well, Porrick, he was delighted to see that you were involved with the show today. Now, you became quite famous, of course, on TV audiences across Ireland on RTE when you gave analysis, and Richie Sadlier has spoken about that, in fact, and the two of you were on there, and it was great to see you on them. You don't really do it as much now, if ever, to be honest, and we see the punditry in England, and there sometimes is a bit of a debate about it. You've got your Gary Nevilles, your Jamie Carragher's, Roy Keane, another Irishman, of course, who speaks out quite vocally on TV about the current state of football. What do you make of football analysis now? And are we ever likely to see you kind of get back in the seat?
No, I retired from RTE, but I was doing it for 40 years with John Giles and Liam Brady primarily. And we had, you know, very good times, and we got very big audiences. Our analysis was more rigorous and more outspoken than you'd get in England, where it's very often bland. Now, there are exceptions. Gary Neville, Roy Keane would be two. Graeme Souness, who's excellent, I think, as well. There are some that aren't so good. They never say very much. They don't want to be critical of people. But at its best, probably on Sky, when you have Gary Neville, Keane and Souness, you couldn't ask for three more knowledgeable people. And as you guys will know, none of them are reluctant to speak their mind, and that's what you want. You don't want to insult your audience and the fans by, you know, pulling your punches. If someone is having a bad time or doing things wrong, then criticize them. They're getting paid enough, you know. So they're entitled to plenty of criticism if it's justified. But that's the way we approach it, and that's the way, at its best in England, it's very good. But it's not always at its best, I'm afraid. Sometimes it's kind of, you know, the people who are doing it are too close to the players who are playing and the coaches. So you need that separation. You can't be friends with the people you're doing a critique on, you know.
I completely agree with you. Eamon, great way to finish the show. Thank you very much for joining us.
No, it's a great pleasure. Thank you very much for having me, and I hope you'll have me on again if I survive much longer.
Certainly.
We will do, mate.
Thanks, Eamon.
Yeah.
Thank you, Eamon.
Lovely stuff there. Millwall legend Eamon Dunphy. Will definitely be getting him back on. It's the Millwall Fan Show here on Love Sport.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
It's the Millwall Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with the guys from Nolu talking. Brilliant to speak to Eamon Dunphy there. We'll definitely get him back on the show very, very soon. But right now, we're all familiar with Harvey Brown. He's been a Millwall mascot at Wembley and Southwark's Young Citizen of the Year. Harvey suffers from a form of mucopolysaccharide. That's MPS disease. This is a rare, life-limiting disorder that can affect both children and adults. His dad, Dean, and Steve Rendell are undertaking a certain challenge in the not-too-distant future. Here is what Dean is asking.
Hello, I'm Dean, Harvey Brown's dad. On the 29th of March, myself and Steve Rendell will be running in the London Landmarks Half Marathon in Harvey's name for the MPS Society, a charity which is really close to our hearts. On the day we was given Harvey's diagnosis, our world fell apart. Without their help, we really don't know where we would be. So to give a little back, I decided to run for them. And as soon as Steve heard, he contacted me and said that he would love to do it with me. Steve ran it last year for the MPS and raised a lot of money, in which we are truly grateful. I've started a Just Giving page and hope to raise £2,000. But most importantly, to raise more awareness of this rare condition. The MPS Society is quite a small charity that really benefits from people's generosity so that they can help children like Harvey, and also to continue to do more research into finding more treatment, hopefully in years to come. Because without the research, I'm sure they would not have founded Vimizin, an enzyme replacement medicine that has helped Harvey and a lot of children like him have a bit of a better life. I know it's going to be an emotional day on the 29th, as it was last year. I really can't wait to do it. Thank you. Come on, you Lions.
Come on, you Lions. That was Dean Brown there, father of Harvey, an MPS fundraiser. Now, if you can donate, it would make a difference for so many and be most gratefully received. All you've got to do is just insert Just Giving Dean Brown 20 into your search engine. That will lead you to the fundraising page where you can make a donation. Once again, that's Just Giving Dean Brown 20. Top stuff, boys. Love all of that. All the best here from Love Sport Radio and the No One Likes Us Talking team. Great stuff, isn't it, guys?
Oh, yeah. Brilliant. Absolutely, yeah. We all love Harvey a bit. So,
lovely family.
Yeah.
Lovely and the thing. Players have been great with him as well.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Jeff, you've got something to say here because the club, before we get onto it, have said they found no evidence to support allegations of homophobic chanting during the recent game, the recent win over Reading. This is an interesting story because it's occurred with Cardiff City as well, hasn't it? We're going to get onto that in a moment or two, but you've got something to say on this.
Well, I've been asked to read out the club statement, and I'm proud to do so because, look, it's easy to be critical of the club. We all are from time to time. It's our right to be. But what they've said in their statement is spot on for me, so I'll read it. The club instigated an immediate investigation into the allegations, which have been every bit as thorough and exhaustive as it's appropriate in such circumstances. Despite this comprehensive investigation, however, no evidence has come to light to substantiate the allegations. The club was immensely disappointed by the media coverage of this incident and was especially outraged by outlets whose use of language implied guilt before any facts were established. Such efforts of the entire football family in fighting all forms of discrimination. It was very harmful to the reputation of those people. The club has already received apologies from some of the news organisations concerned and now anticipates, they'll be lucky, similarly widespread reporting of this outcome to its investigation into the matter. Millwall would like to thank fans for their outstanding ongoing support, both on and off the pitch.
Very interesting there from Millwall Football Club. We're just going to quickly just touch on this particular subject because I think it's very easy, isn't it, to suddenly, you know, throw some branches at clubs and say, oh, there we go, we've heard that it's homophobic and it's potentially racist chanting, damn you. And Cardiff have released a similar statement this week, I think, and demanded, or asked politely, I should say, retractions from certain media outlets who instantly damn them Because when you actually look into it, which is what has been done, there has been a thorough investigation. I know that the protocol was in place and it has to be now with UEFA's three-step protocol and the announcements come over at the Tannoy. But once you've looked into it and the investigation shows that there actually hasn't been any wrongdoing, it's important to put these statements out.
We're such an easy target, Matt, aren't we? We're such an easy target. And when it involves Millwall, certain people in the media just rub their hands.
That's right. The damage has been done.
They know
they
can get stuck into us and no one's going to criticise them.
The damage has been done. I mean, for all the retractions you get, whoever prints what, people aren't going to remember that. They're going to remember the headlines from a week ago. So
Yeah, it's very difficult for our football club above everybody else, I think, because the football club tries to do things correctly. As soon as these sort of things happen, the club put out statements to try and show that they're doing things right, but it can come back and bite them sometimes.
I'm still chair and have been chair for a while of Millwall for All, which tries to fight all forms of discrimination. I'd like to remind people that when John Fashanu's daughter wanted to make a documentary about what happened to her her uncle, Justin, the first openly gay footballer who sadly committed suicide, probably partly at least because of the way he was perceived in those days, in those dark days, no football club would cooperate with her except one, and that was us. And we had them down the training ground. Four or five of our players were on camera saying that there would be no problem in the dressing room if somebody actually decided to come out. We never got any credit for what we do positively, but they like to get stuck in as soon as they possibly can. I'm really pleased this investigation has failed to turn up a single trace of evidence. And as for chanting, if there was chanting, you definitely would have evidence of that. So well done, Millwall. This statement hits it right on the head, that nail right on the head for me.
That was Jeff Burnage there speaking about Millwall's statement, saying they found no evidence to support allegations of homophobic chanting during their recent championship win over Reading. This is the Millwall Fan Show here. Next up, we are heading to the fan in the dugout. Aisha Smith will join us.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
It's the Millwall Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beale, and the guys from No Lou talking with you for another 11 minutes or so. I did say before the ads that we were going to get Aisha Smith on the line, but we're having a bit of difficulty trying to get through. So hopefully we might get her on later. If not, I'm sure she will be joining us next week, or certainly in the not-too-distant future, because I want some cakes. So, you know, end up. And a gnome as well, Aisha, if you're listening. We're going to move on to Millwall Lionesses right now. They came back from behind twice on Sunday to maintain their unbeaten record in their league with a 3-3 away draw to Lee Ramblers. They extended their lead to 4 points at the top of the table. Here is what boss Colin Reid had to say after the match.
After the way we started, we've got out of jail. At the end, we've drawn 3-3. I think, like I said, we gave them a 2-goal start. One goal was clearly offside. I never moan about officials. I best keep my mouth shut about that one. I've never seen one like this before. Message at half-time, if we keep doing the right things and we started slowly, then, you know, I was very confident we'd get a result. Unfortunately, we went down. We looked, you know, that we was in the ascendancy, particularly when we come back. And I thought there was only going to be one winner. We gave a goal away at the end, which the girl took well. A mistake by one of our players, but what we showed, and I was really, really pleased with, we showed great character to come back and score probably in injury time. So full credit to the girls, and I've said to them, come off with their heads held high. I picked the team, and any poor display, you know, stops with me. So, you know, I'm pleased they showed a bit of character, and we can now go on from here.
Well, that was Millwall Lionesses boss Colin Reid there speaking in what seemed to be like a
force-tang gale. Like a windy day, that, didn't it?
If you've ever been to Leon Sea when there's a gale blowing, you know what it's like.
Jamaica at that earthquake.
That's the posh part of Southend, isn't it, yeah, Leon Sea?
Absolutely. Next up for the girls, it is Hoddesdon Town Owls, the splendidly named Hoddesdon Town Owls, away for the Lionesses this Sunday. That's a 2 p.m. kickoff. If you can get along, remember your support will always be much appreciated. It's about 90 minutes by car from Rotherhithe. Next up for the Millwall men's team, of course, it is Sheffield Wednesday. It's an away day, which can mean but one thing. George, please.
Right, OK, as you know, it's Sheffield Wednesday this Saturday, guys. So pubs for the weekend are in the town centre, and by the train station, there's the Howard, the Globe, the Graduate, which is a Wetherspoons, and the Benjamin Huntsman are the recommended pubs. Leave time, because you have to get the tram to the ground. 1,200 Millwall fans are travelling. There are no pubs near the ground, but we are told that the ground opens at 1:30, where alcohol is available.
There we go. What is your normal away day routine? Do you guys have a specific routine for an away day?
I think most people like to... Well, I always like to get there early, have something to eat, that type of thing. You know, I don't worry more about the drinking. I worry more about the eating, I think.
Lovely stuff. Well, it was a victory, of course, over the Owls earlier on in the season. In terms of records, recent records at Hillsborough, not a win since 2005. You have to go a long time ago to get that most recent victory. They're up there as well, challenging for the playoff spots. Bit of indifferent form for them, really. Winning away at Leeds brilliantly, but then getting hammered at home by Blackburn.
That was after a red card, wasn't it? They played most of that game with 10 men. But regarding Sheffield Wednesday, that is a big, big club. Someone will eventually get that right there. Personally, I can't go there without my head just remembering the events at Hillsborough in, what was it, 1989, was it?
Yeah.
You know, that was a terrible thing to witness on television. And that's how I always feel when I go there. That tram ride back into the station is a bit of a nightmare as well. Outside, you've done that one, Pat?
No, I've been by coach before.
Coach one?
Yeah, coach one.
I thought you might be a coach one girl.
No, I'm not a regular on there.
That's a tough game, Matt, in my opinion. I think that's going to be hard.
Pat, this one?
They were third at Christmas, weren't they? Third from top at Christmas. They've not had a good time lately. I can't see a problem up there. I think as long as we can bounce back from these two defeats, and neither of them, I mean, one was against probably the best side in the Championship, and one we shouldn't have lost, not getting back on that. But I think we'll do well up there. We got Willow back from suspension. I can see us winning.
Pat's can always see us winning.
Every week, without a shadow of a doubt. You need a bit of... The glass is always half full with Patricia Maslin. I love it.
I didn't see us winning Sheffield United.
We've got to talk a bit more about players and contracts and transfer talk. But good news, Williams and Hutchinson being signed on extended contracts this week.
Yeah, this is good business for us, actually, because these two are very important to the football club. Hutchinson, I'm a big fan of Hutchinson. I know everybody likes Williams, so he's, you know, that's good for the club. I skipped over that bit. But no, and that's good business. And I think in this last week or so, Millwall have done some very good business. So, I praise the club for that, you know, spending money.
Yeah, they've changed their contracts, haven't they? Because under Harris, it was only a year for anyone over 30. Rowett's come in, he's altered that. And they've, I know Hutchinson's got nearly 4 years. He's got a long contract.
Right, and I think Williams was 18.
18 months he's got. He's 33, so that's pretty good for a 33-year-old.
Yeah. They've earned those contracts. We've got some very good players in our club at the moment. I certainly think Hutchinson is a really outstanding player in his position in the division. We might be seeing a debut, mightn't we? You know, we might be seeing an appearance by Mason Bennett. I suspect he won't start. I don't think he's as fit as all that at the moment, and we have got alternatives. But I think he might be figuring at some stage. Who knows? We might have somebody else in the door tomorrow. There's another day. There's more than 24 hours left in this transfer window.
And I think Jeff knows something we don't know.
Yeah, he
does. He's does,
crafty,
doesn't he?
He's even combing his hair outside because Pat was taking pictures of it. But just want to say how well our two young fellas played against Sheffield United.
Billy,
Pat and I may not have been happy about the team selection.
We're not taking it away from them. They were playing Premiership players.
And the two boys, you know... The boys were just absolutely red hot, and I think there's bright future for them two boys.
They were two of our best players on the day. You know, thrilled for both of them. Be interesting to see what use Gary Rowett makes of those two for the rest of this season. Suspect if Ryan Leonard and Ben Thompson are anywhere near, he might let Billy go out on loan.
Do you think?
He's ready, isn't he? Mm. I mean, he was really great in that game on Saturday. So was James, by the way. But he's a touch older. He's had injuries which have held him back. And he's had loans. So it's not as if he's never played in the league. He's done well when he's gone out on loan, I think, particularly at Carlisle under Keith Curl. Thrilled for Billy. I think he, you know, he really played well. And he's definitely one for the future, no doubt about that.
And I thought Brown was red hot, actually. He looked so bigger and stronger than when he last played. And as he was against Premier League, you know, quality players there, I thought he's got a bright future, that boy.
It might explain why we allowed the right back to go back to Wickham. What's his name?
Yes, he scored on his return, didn't he? His second loan spell
what's
at Wickham.
What's his name, George? Come on.
Yeah, his name escapes
Jason.
Me.
Jason.
Jason something or other. By the way, he's a very good player.
Well, we'll quickly touch as well on the fact that Gary Rowett has said that there looks like there's going to be no outgoings, especially it's going to cost a lot of money. And the rumours around Jed Wallace seem to have died down, don't they?
Good.
Yeah, let's hope they have, actually. you know, they haven't got long to go now, have we? So we can just tick it on a bit. So
Well, I don't think we'd be in the position we are without him. I think we'd be just above the relegation spot this season without Jed Wallace. I mean, going back to Sheffield United, as soon as he came on, we had two good chances. The team completely changed once he was on the field. So,
well, he's the one player in our team that gives us pace, you know. And you know, if you was to take him away, the team would just lack pace right through, you know. Hopefully, this is where Bennett can come in and add a bit of pace to the forward line.
Absolutely. Jason McCarthy, by the way. Of course it was. Jason
Thank
McCarthy.
You.
Well,
not a problem.
We had a blind spot there for a minute. He's a very good player as well, by the way. But
I got the Jason bit.
The fact that Gary allowed him to go back on loan to Wickham, he did say at the time, we've got a very good right back coming through, and he meant James. And James proved him right on Saturday. He had a really, really excellent game. Obviously, I love Billy because he's 18 and there's a lot to come. But James Brown had a really superb game. And, you know, I can't wait for Jeff Stelling to play the music if he ever scores a goal.
Absolutely. Guys, we are sadly at the end of our hour. I'm going to come round the three of you and get a quick score prediction for the weekend. Patricia Maslin.
2-0 to Millwall.
Go on, the Lions.
I think a draw. I'll go 1-1.
Lovely, Jeff.
And I think a draw. It's going to be 2-2.
2-2. All differing opinions around the table here. I'm going to end as well. We've had a message in from a certain Eamon Barkley who wishes Patricia Maslin nothing but the best on her birthday week, of course. Has said, don't be flaky.
And enjoy your chocolates.
There we go. A private joke. What's all that about?
That's what Stan says to him.
Lovely. This has been the Millwall Fan Show here on Love Sport. We'll be back next week, 9 p.m. on Love Sport London. See you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.